Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snow in a short amount of time and a holiday weekend where 80 billion people are traveling. So maybe not 80 billion, but I would say 80 million. The one of the things that we have to look at too is this storm hit pretty good in the South. And once in a while you get an unusual event. And this time we had a very unusual event because we had a 64-year-old that had left Rochester with her husband with a battery-powered heart pump on her way to Cleveland Clinic for a heart transplant. Now, obviously, they left Rochester driving through the holiday season, not anticipating the storm being as bad as it was, and they ended up getting stranded on State Route 5. They were able to reach out before her pump battery died to Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic, in turn, got a hold of the New York State Police. We were able to locate her with UTVs and snowmobiles out on State Route 5, get her, pick her up, take her to Portland Fire Department, which was the closest to make sure, you know, assess the situation. We tried to take her to Westfield Memorial Hospital. They were unable to help with the heart transplant. So we were able to actually escort her in trooper vehicles to Jamestown Airport in Chautauqua County, which was just out of the storm. And they had arranged a private flight and flew her to Cleveland Clinic for the heart transplant. Now, that's one of the things where it's a, you know, incredible story, perseverance and coordination, you know, not only by the medical staff, transportation teams and troopers, but it's one of those things where we can adapt and overcome even in, you know, the severe weather conditions. And that's what we're out there to do. That's why we do what we do. There's certain cases and scenarios where you can't really invent them. They just happen. And you can't sit there and point fingers. You just have to get the job done and do the best we can.
I'm pretty sure that they didn't teach you at the academy how to deal with a winter situation with a woman with a battery-operated heart pump in adverse conditions, not able to proceed. I mean, the men and women of the New York State Police, you really had to be creative, and you really had to take the available crisis and figure out how to save that person's life, because obviously had the battery died, the results would have been entirely different. Thinking on your feet in law enforcement, I mean, this sounds like a classic example of creative and innovative thinking and, as you said, perseverance.
It is, and there is no class at the academy, just so you know. There's no class in there, but it is. There's a lot of situations that, you know, that troopers and other law enforcement deal with that you can't really prepare for. You have to use a lot of other people. Like, we used Portland Fire Department. We tried Westfield Memorial Hospital. Hey, what can we do? What are our options? How can we make this work? How do we even charge this battery? When's the battery going to die that's keeping her alive? There's a lot of things we don't know, so we have to bring in other people. And even when they hit a roadblock, we have to think way outside the box. Can we somehow get this person to an airport and fly them there, you know, privately? Is this possible? Is that airport even in the storm? Can they even fly? So, I mean, there's a lot of different things and a lot of coordination. But like I said, it's not like we have days. I mean, we got to do this in just a few hours because of how severe it is. And this is just one case of different things going on. And you have hundreds of vehicles stranded. You have 40 tractor trailers that aren't moving off the roadway. You got, you know, plow workers. You have different people. You know, there could be no power in people's houses, and we got to go help do that. There's so many scenarios that come at us, and you have to be really willing, keep the smile on your face, and just help as best as you can. And when you hit a roadblock, ask for help, ask another agency, ask another person who might have dealt with this in the past. And that's what it's all about. It's really coming together. And it's not just a state police thing. It's kind of an everyone that lives in this area thing.
Yeah, I mean, Portland is just, I think, to the north of Westfield. And the only thing I would have thought of was South Buffalo Mercy. They do a lot of work with cardiac situations and, of course, Buffalo General. But she was on her way to Cleveland. So I don't know if they would have been able to do anything with the battery or not. But that's who did actually arrange the flight? Did your people back at HQ do it, or did her health insurance? I know you don't. We can't get too personal on this, but was that a state police thing, or was that a complainant thing?
So the Cleveland Clinic, they had a person over at the Cleveland Clinic working with one of our sergeants down in the Jamestown, and they coordinated a lot of this while boots on the ground were getting this female 64-year-old place to place. So it's like a multitude of different people working on a situation in real time, like throwing options out. Can we do this? Can we do that? I believe a lot of the plane was Cleveland Clinic getting her there. But again, it would be at the discretion of, because Cleveland Clinic's in Cleveland, right? They don't know how bad is it at the Jamestown Airport. So now we have to call James. You know, this is where our command staff will make these calls. Hey, can you land a plane? What's the weather like? Is it feasible? And they're like, yeah, you know, yes. And there's a lot of coordination that kind of goes into that. And, you know, getting the detailed release from the sergeant, talking to him, it's just, there's so many moving parts to this. You can't really pinpoint like a person did all of it. It's impossible. It's a lot of people that have had a hand in it to make it work. And that's what it comes down to. That's always what it comes down to, really.
Sounds to me like that's going to be a feature story in Trooper Magazine coming up, if you guys still put that out. The plane and the pilot, were they actually available at Jamestown, or did Cleveland Clinic fly a plane to Jamestown Airport to transport her?
That I don't know. There are pictures. I got a bunch of pictures. It looks like a smaller private plane, something you know, something like a Tom Bowerly or a movie star would fly in.
So you mean a single engine fixed wing, like a Cessna or maybe a Piper, Cherokee,
No. We're talking like a smaller jet engine. You know, engines are up on the back by the tail wing, like an actual private plane you would take.
Like a turboprop.
Distance. Yes.
Turboprop.
So I don't know if that was already at the airport or if they flew it there, but it's one of those that would go significantly quick by the picture of it. So, like I said, time is of the essence, so they didn't fool around with a prop plane for sure.
This is an amazing story. I just want to pursue it a little bit further. Do we know how much life the battery had in it?
So there's enough to where they think they would have been okay stranded, but they didn't want to get to the point where they didn't know how long they would be. So it had enough life, the battery, to go from Rochester to Cleveland Clinic, and it had enough for that trip and plus a couple hours. But obviously when you stranded in snow and you don't know how long that's going to be, plus you still got to go from being stuck to Cleveland Clinic all through that storm, you're probably not going to make it. So that's what we're looking at. How can we charge this? Is this something that's chargeable? And then what is the fastest option? Well, you're not driving there, so the best option was flight.
This is an amazing story, and it's the first time, obviously, we're hearing it. What time did this begin? When did the original call come in?
So the original was on November 29th. It was earlier in the morning. But then, you know, it took a while. We have to find the person, where they're at, get vehicles there. Like I said, we have a lot of vehicles stuck on Route 5. Meanwhile, you know, we actually looked through our New York State Police Facebook page, and you can see different people were commenting on it before we even put this out there. Other family members, you know, pray for so-and-so. You know, that would be greatly helped. They're stuck. And so we actually found that. So it was like we're working on that angle of it, and then we're actually seeing it pop up on our Facebook comments part. And it was just interesting to see the community, even when you're talking about people that don't live here on, you know, obviously social media, commenting about how crazy that is. And, you know, we'll be thinking thoughts and prayers. And it was neat to see, because it's, like I said, it's a different element with social media. So you see people coming together, even on that aspect, asking how they could help or what they could do. So it is really neat to see people come together on that end as well.
At the risk of possibly omitting anybody, would you care to name the sergeant who was the logistical coordinator and any troopers who may have gone above and beyond?
So there are a couple people. I don't know if I'm able to, but you know what? They deserve some credit. So hold on. I will.
I don't want to jam you up.
Yeah, I know we had Trooper Matt Thomas, who obviously drove her to the airport, and then we had Sergeant Jeremy Kobo, who's a sergeant out of Jamestown, so he helped out as well. And, you know, they're going to love me for putting them out there. But, hey, you know what? Credits do where credits do, and these guys did a great job. And there are many more. I mean, we had UTV people. I don't have the exact names of all of them, but I know a big role in this was the sergeant. Speaking to everybody when it came to coordinating, obviously back at the station, back at the command post, he was the person kind of logistically putting this thing together.
And that's Sergeant Jeremy Kobo, C-O-B-O?
That's correct.
And Trooper Matt Thomas was the driver. And what was he driving?
He was driving our New York State Police Charger at that point once they left the hospital. And then we have... See, then we had a couple people from Roswell, but I'm not going to mention them. But we
had a
contact point from Cleveland Clinic. But again, that was huge because, you know, medically, that's where our training stops. We don't get a lot of that. Plus, we don't know what that looks like with a heart transplant, what's important, what's not. And obviously coordinating that flight, which was done through Cleveland Clinic. But like I said, it's a coordinated effort, and it went great. I mean, everyone came together and it worked out. And that, at the end of the day, like I said, not only with this incident, but all the traffic, you know, collisions and all the people stranded, no fatalities. We're real happy with that.